Raffles by E.W. Hornung, a series of short stories dramatized for radio by David Buck, with Jeremy Clyde as Raffles and Michael Cochran as Bunny. Nine Points of the Law.
You saw my advertisement in the Telegraph?
Here.
And what was your immediate reaction to it?
To send you a telegram, as you requested all applicants should, offering our services.
Why?
Something about the style in which it was written appealed to me, particularly your use of the phrase, £2,000 reward.
We sat, Raffles and I, before the redoubtable presence of Mr. Bennett Addenbrooke, lawyer extraordinary of Wellington Street, Strand. By chance, the very man we had always resolved to approach should our own affairs ever turn sour.
The advertisement also contained the phrases delicate mission and certain risk. Do these make a similar appeal to your aesthetic taste?
I spent £5 on a reply, Mr. Addenbrooke.
Yes. Applications by telegram only were stipulated to narrow the field. As no doubt you will have guessed, Mr. Glasspool, quite. Though I believe there are many who would be surprised to hear it.
I beg your pardon?
Ah, my dear sir, I have seen you take far too many wickets to be mistaken.
And now you've bowled me. Middle stump, clean out of the ground. Well, I don't think I need explain more than this, that I'm harder up than I'd care to admit under my own handle.
Please, Mr. Raffles, a man who is above an alias is not the sort of man I seek. I must confess, though, that I was not expecting a team, however small.
We go into this together, or not at all?
Then I'm delighted to make your acquaintance, Mr.
Robinson.
Henry Manders.
Mr. Manders. However, I must admit I had not anticipated the receipt of applications from gentlemen such as yourselves, men who belong to good clubs and so forth, men who respect the law.
Well, I think I may truly say that no one has a healthier respect for the law than myself. And Manders here, of course.
Of course.
But on our beam-ends we most certainly are, and we'd do a good deal for £1,000 apiece, wouldn't we, Bunny?
Anything.
Well, perhaps it's time I told you what I want done. After all, you can but refuse. It's somewhat illegal, but it's illegality in a good cause. That's the risk. And it's a risk my client is prepared to pay for.
I see.
He will pay, moreover, for the attempt alone.
Succeed or fail. That's handsome. Will you name your client?
Sir Bernard Debenham.
Sir Bernard Debenham of Broomhall, Esher? I know his son.
Then you have the privilege of knowing one of the most complete young blackguards about town and the root and cause of the whole present trouble. As you know the son, I take it you must know the father, too, at least by reputation.
A most peculiar man, I believe.
A full-blown eccentric in every way. And in no sphere is that more evident than in his treatment of his son. For years he spoiled the lad past believing, paid his debts and so forth, bailed him out of 100 scrapes. Then, quite suddenly, a few weeks ago, he refused point-blank to do so any more. Not only that, but he stopped the lad's allowance.
It seems that the father must shoulder some of the blame for the boy's subsequent behaviour.
I agree with you, sir.
Well, then tell us, please, how did the lad behave?
You shall hear. On Tuesday of last week, Sir Bernard summoned me to Broom Hall. Without a word, he led me to the picture gallery, which was locked and darkened, drew up a blind, and stood simply pointing to an empty picture frame. Do either of you gentlemen know anything about painting?
I dabbled for a spell. I think I may say I displayed something of a natural talent for it, though I was more interested in the technique of oils than in the matter of subject, composition, and so forth.
Forgive me, sir, but I meant the history of painting,
some knowledge of the subject, I suppose.
Are you acquainted, for example, with the work of Velasquez?
Velasquez? Diego Rodriguez de Silva y Velasquez? 17th century Spanish master, court painter to Philip IV, the first great realist. Old woman cooking eggs, Pope Innocent X, the Rokeby Venus. Yes, I've heard of it.
So I see.
And this empty frame, it had contained a Velasquez.
A portrait of the Infanta Maria Teresa, circa 1653, said to be one of his finest works. Here is an engraving of it. Gives little impression of the grandeur of the thing, but believe me when I say it's priceless.
I don't doubt it. May I keep this?
Absolutely priceless. And yet, young Debenham sold it.
The deuce he did. For how much?
£5,000.
Sold it to whom?
A Queensland legislator by the name of Craggs. The Honourable John Montague Craggs, MLC, to give him his full title.
Have you approached this man, Craggs?
I have. I've tried all means within my power to recover the picture. Threats, offers, prayers, entreaties, a blank check even. Not one of them a bit of good.
But surely the sale was illegal. Can't you pay him back his money and rely upon the law to recover the picture?
Not without a public scandal. Debenham would rather lose the picture than disgrace the family name.
And yet...
He wants to win the game.
And so does Craig.
Exactly.
To the point, Mr. Addenbrooke. You wish us to steal this picture.
The steal, Mr. Raffles, is not a word I like.
And which particular word do you admire, Mr. Addenbrooke?
The recovery of stolen property.
And the law? Would the law make such a nice distinction?
The law would not. That is the risk we pay for.
Not enough. Too much is at stake. You mentioned our clubs. Not only do we stand to get kicked out of them, but to get put in prison like common felons. But true, we're hard up. But it's simply not worth it at that price. However...
Yes?
Increase your stakes, double them, and we're your men.
Double them?
Those were my words.
£4,000.
£4,000.
Do you think you could bring it off?
We could try.
But you have no... Have no...
Experience? Hardly, but we are... What are we, Bunny?
Resourceful.
Resourceful, that's the ticket.
Then you'd run the risk for £4,000.
We would.
Then I think it should be nothing if you fail.
Double or quits? Well, that's sporting at least. What do you say, Bunny?
I say we accept.
And so do I, by thunder. Done.
I know you're bowling, Mr. Raffles. I go up to Lord's whenever I wish to relax for an hour or so. I've seen you take the best wickets in England on a plum pitch, and I'm inclined to believe that if anybody could bowl out this old Antipodean ruffian, damn me, I believe you're the very man.
Our bargain was clinched in fine style at the Café Royal, and I remember that our host took his whack of champagne with the nervous freedom of a man at high pressure. And I have no doubt that I kept him in countenance by an equal indulgence.
No more, thank you, sir.
Oh,
very well.
Raffles, however, was more abstemious even than his wont, and poorer company to boot. It was almost a relief when he suddenly got to his feet.
If you'll excuse me, gentlemen, I have a train to catch.
But, Mr. Raffles...
And he was off before either of us could question him.
Is your friend often so abrupt?
It's not unknown, but churlish as his behaviour may seem, it's the best of signs. In terms of our enterprise.
He has a plan, do you think?
I'm sure of it.
May I know it?
My dear sir, you will probably know it before I do. A friend as I am, and this venture partner, I shall still be the last person in the world he will think to tell.
I exaggerated in my bitterness, to be sure. Yet Raffles always did exhibit an almost insulting reluctance to give me any advance warning of his plans. I had, however, learned to be patient. I had little choice. And rested secure in the knowledge that when Raffles needed my assistance, he would directly seek it. I waited for the inevitable telegram, and at last it came.
The Ducks of St. James's request sustenance at your hands noon tomorrow. AJR.
The Ducks of St. James's?
5 minutes, Bunny. Not a moment more.
Why? What's the matter?
Time. That's what's the matter. Craggs returns to Australia tomorrow, and the Velasquez with him.
Oh, all's up, then?
Not quite. It simply means that the leisured approach I had planned must be scrapped and a quick in-and-out job set up in its place. Fortunately, the groundwork's done.
What?
Let me explain. Where did I last see you?
Sitting at lunch at the Café Royal.
That's right. So it was. The train I was off to catch was the 3-2 to Esher, as you may have guessed.
Well,
it was necessary to confirm Addenbrooke's story, get it from the horse's mouth. Just a precaution.
And was it confirmed?
By Debenham himself. Can't say I took to the old boy much, or he to me. But the story's true enough. And the 4,000 hours, if we keep our heads.
Oh, I'm pleased to hear it, AJ.
My next move was to approach the egregious Craggs, with or without his knowledge. He's at the Metropole. You don't break into the Met unless you have to. Much better to work from the inside. I therefore decided to pose as an art collector. And so I am, in a way.
What'd you say your name was?
Manning Tree. My card, sir.
Yeah. I'm an old man, Mr. Manning Tree. I can't read all that spidery nonsense. You're a collector, you say?
In a modest way, yes, sir.
Modest? Yeah. That's a new one. Well, Mr. Modest Manning Tree, how can I help you?
Well, I've been offered a painting, 17th century.
Have you now?
Portrait of the Infanta Maria Theresa, the Velasquez portrait.
Was it?
Copied, as I guess, by one of his pupils.
Ah, copy, eh?
The thing has no provenance. It may be a later effort, or indeed an attempted forgery. I don't need to tell you that a collector of fine art has to be prepared for surprises, pleasant and unpleasant.
No, you don't.
I wanted to see the original, of course, to compare certain aspects of the work.
Of course.
And imagine my surprise and chagrin when I visited the supposed owner, only to be told that he'd sold the thing a few weeks ago.
Do you mean to tell me old Debenham admitted the sale?
Yes. Yes, he did. Why shouldn't he?
Why shouldn't he indeed? I'd love to have seen the old buzzard's face. worth £100, that would have been.
Well, glad to have made you so happy, sir, though I don't...
Yeah, quite... well, you certainly have, Mr. Manning Tree. Now, what did you say you wanted? Oh, to see the portrait, was that it? Oh, you shall. This way.
He took me into the next room, Bunny. And there it was. Or rather, there was an iron map case with a new Chubb lock on it. I had to listen to the old demon cackle on for another 20 minutes before he opened the thing. And didn't I have to compliment him on the cleverness of his hiding place? He purred like an old tomcat. But the picture, Bunny, the picture, it's a beauty. I've half a mind to keep it for myself and stow the money.
AJ.
It's not as large as I'd imagined, which is all to the good.
It's, perfect.
Priceless, that's what they say.
And the detail here.
What? Where?
The brushwork here.
Yeah, I'm an old man, I can't see any of that stuff. But she's a bonny looking Sheila. Well dressed, too. And rich, hey?
Yes.
Well, if you've looked your fill, I'll roll her up again.
I managed to take an interest in the key of the Chubb as he rolled up the canvas. I had the wax in the palm of my hand and made a duplicate within the hour. Which reminds me, we're invited to dinner with him this evening.
With Craggs?
I swore that you were dining with me already, so he had to ask you along too. I accepted, of course.
Of course.
But I shan't be there.
Raffles, my head is spinning. Why won't you be there?
I've other things to do. Now, listen carefully. You'll be dining in his private sitting room,
yes,
which adjoins the bedroom where the picture is. Your task is to keep him sitting, Bunny, to keep him sitting and talking all the time.
While you go for the picture?
Exactly.
But if he hears you?
He mustn't.
But if he does?
If he does, there'll simply be a collision, that's all. Oh, of course, I'd never dream of taking a firearm into the Metropole.
Oh, of course not. Perish the thought.
But I shall certainly take along a life preserver. Well, must be on my way.
Raffles, I don't think I can sit and talk to an utter stranger knowing you're at work in the next room.
£2,000 apiece.
I'll give the game away, I'm sure I shall.
Not you, Bunny. I know you better. I know you better than you know yourself.
What time have I to be there?
That's the ticket. 7:45. There'll be a telegram arriving from me saying I can't turn up. Apologies and all that.
And how do you suggest I keep him talking?
That's the least of your problems, my young rabbit. The difficulty is to stop him once he gets going. But head him off the subject of the picture for all you're worth.
Where will I find you when I get away?
At Addenbrooke's. I've told him to wait up for us and to have our reward handy. Oh, now, take my tip. Spend an hour or so reading up about Queensland. That'll stand you in good stead if Craggs ain't in a conversational skin.
Queensland.
Well, I must fly. See you at Addenbrooke's about midnight.
I have seldom felt so alone as I did that afternoon as Raffles disappeared among the trees. For a while I strolled the park in a state of mounting apprehension, then betook myself to the club, and there immersed myself in an intractable volume entitled The Australian Colonies by J.W. Duckett. After an hour or two in Mr. Duckett's company, I began to anticipate the adventures of the evening with more relish, and it was with some confidence that I presented myself at the Metropole just before 8 that evening.
Good evening, Mr. Craggs.
Who the hell are you?
I'm a Bunner, Manor.
Bunner Manor? Ah, you're the friend that couldn't be put off, I suppose.
That's right.
Oh, well, better come in, then. I thought your name was Harris.
Harris? Oh, yes, that's my Christian name.
Ah, I see. Well, he's not turned up yet, your Mr...
Rafferty?
Could have sworn he had some other name.
No, just Rafferty.
My memory's not what it was.
You come from Queensland, I believe.
What's that got to do with it?
Oh, one of my favourite colonies. Large, too. Some 667,000 square miles, I believe.
427 million acres. And 20,000 of them are mine, by God. Prime land. Man I bought them from put a bullet in his head. Bang. Widow came to me for help. God helps those as helps themselves, I said. Don't cry all over my Axminster woman, I said. Jerry.
Oh, yes, please, thank you.
He's late, you, Mr. Rafferty.
Hmm?
He's late.
Yes. I believe Queensland is rich in mineral ores.
Thought you said you'd been there.
Oh, yes, I have. Thank you.
Then you'll know.
Oh, I was only very little at the time.
Ah, your friend. Yes?
Telegram for Mr. Craggs.
Well, don't just stand there. Hand it over.
Sir.
There's no reply.
Sir.
He can't come.
Oh, dear. Who?
Your friend Manningtree.
Oh, him.
I thought you said his name was Rafferty.
It is. It was. He had to change it.
Why?
Terms of a will.
I've often fancied the idea of leaving a freak will myself. Make them jump through hoops for their money. But he is. I'd not be around to see it.
No.
Aren't you going to ask why he's not coming? You're a most uncurious fellow, Mr. Bunnamanor.
Oh, I'm not. Oh, not at all. I'm very curious. Why isn't he coming?
Sudden illness of elderly aunt, it said. Well, I don't see why he couldn't have dined first. Like to see the deathbed, I'd skip my dinner to visit, eh? Well, I hope she kicks the bucket, the old bat teacher, to spoil a man's table, eh?
I must end to having enjoyed many a dinner more than that which was now set before me. While one ear was cocked in the direction of my host, who prattled on most tirelessly and revealingly about his own sharp practices, the other was listening with not a little apprehension for any sound from the bedroom, where even now, by my calculations, the shadowy figure of Raffles flitted to and fro, disengaging the chub lock, opening the iron map case, removing the priceless canvas, and...
What was that?
What?
That noise.
I didn't hear a thing, but...
But what?
If I did hear anything, I think it was from upstairs.
There it is again.
They're moving furniture, I think.
Well, they've chosen a fine time to do it, damn them all to hell. Yea, and their children's children. Now, what was I saying, Bunnamanor?
You were talking about the time you won £100.
Guineas?
Oh, yes, of course, guineas. By consuming a gallon of whiskey and 10...
20!
Hard-boiled eggs in the space of 30?
25.
Minutes.
Exactly. Don't suppose you'd care to make a similar wager, Bunnamanor?
No, I don't think so, thank you. I'm not all that keen on hard-boiled eggs.
Whiskey, then. Pint for pint.
I don't...
What is that?
Furniture? Upstairs?
It's in there. In the bedroom.
Oh, I don't think so. Perhaps I inadvertently kicked...
Well, follow me.
No, but Mr. Craggs.
Where's that damn light?
No, wait.
No one here.
Shutter's open, mate. That's odd.
Perhaps that's what you heard. The shutter, swinging.
Perhaps it was.
Shall we go back to the table?
Wait. In a moment. Wait. You must have noticed, Mr. Bannerman, I've been more than usually jumpy tonight.
No, I hadn't thought about it.
Well, I have. And there's reasons. Good reasons.
Huh?
100,000 good reasons.
100,000 pounds?
Guineas. In this very case here. You don't believe me? I'll show you.
No, please don't. I have an aversion to valuable objects. I don't like to see them.
A painting? A priceless painting.
In oils?
Of course, in oils.
Oh, then please don't show me. I can't stand the smell of oil paintings. My sinus is delicate. Terrible things.
Here, hold this while I unroll it.
Oh, a map?
A painting's rolled inside.
I'd really much sooner not see it.
There.
Eh?
There it is, the painting. Velasquez, that's the artist's name, painted this nearly 250 years ago, they tell me. You'd hardly credit it, would you? Might have been painted yesterday. Oh, that's enough looking. You'll be the last to see that painting for a while. And as for old England, this little lady here will never see these shores again. Now, what do you say to that?
Well, Velasquez wasn't English, you know.
You don't say. What was he? Italian?
Spanish, I believe.
Really? Well, she can wave goodbye to all the senoras. Queensland's this little lady's home from now on. Yeah, I always forget which way to roll these things. Pass that damn lock, will you?
Do I understand you leave tomorrow, Mr. Craggs?
First thing.
I see. I can only apologize for Rafferty. We did rather spoil your evening.
A plan was forming in my mind even as I spoke the words.
Yeah, just let your friend come crawling here again for advice.
So why don't I,
Well, come on, Bunnermanner, spit it out.
Well, why don't I accept your challenge? £100 the stake, or guineas, if you prefer.
You're a gentleman, Bunnermanner. Choice of tipple's yours.
Whiskey, then.
Splendid. Pint for pint.
Agreed.
Agreed.
Bunny? Who is it? Bunny! Outside, on the stair.
Happy New Year, Jay!
Only three more stairs.
You better lift him bodily.
That's the ticket.
Oh, should our acquaintance be forgot for the sake of all anxiety.
Can you poop some of those law books off that chair?
Certainly.
Come now, Bunny. Sit down. Relax, my friend.
Jack and Jill went up the hill, fetch a pail of... Another pint for Mr. Bunman. Bun-bum, bun-bunna.
He's had quite a skinful, your friend.
Have you any coffee?
I can brew some.
Will you, please? Now, Bunny, what have you been up to?
Drag any Englishman onto the table, he says.
So that's it. And you took him on? You ass, Bunny, you total worm.
Beat him, too.
You what?
Cheated a bit. Poured half the stuff into a potted plant. Perked the thing up no end.
But why did you do it?
Save us and save a young lady. Rescue a damsel.
I'm sorry, Bunny, I don't quite follow.
Infanta.
What does he say?
Royalty, tender age, threatened with fate worse than death at the hands of, Scraggs. Scraggs, that's it. But all right now. Saved her.
But you can't have saved her, Bunny.
That's just where you're wrong. Open jacket. And likewise, Lou. Very unusual waistcoat, eh?
Oh, good. Bunny.
Knew you'd failed, Raffles. Craig showed me picture. Had to get it back, Simi. Had to get it back.
But why, Bunny?
Because it's a Velasquez circa 1653.
It's not.
It's not? What is it, then?
A Raffles, circa 1892.
A what?
And a pretty fair example of his middle period.
But Cragg said...
What did he say?
It might have been painted yesterday.
It was painted yesterday. He used an old forger's trick to dry it out. It's not half bad, I think. Although it's as well Craggs was too vain to wear spectacles.
But why didn't you tell me you were going to leave a copy? You never tell me anything, Raffles.
To hear you talk, one would think you'd done this kind of thing before.
Oh, we have. We have. We're the most notorious thieves in London, Bunny and I.
Heaven help us all if you ever do take to that line of country, gentlemen.
Amen. But to answer your question, Bunny, I admit I experienced a sudden softening of the heart towards our friend Craggs. He's such an absolute out-and-out bounder. I thought I'd leave him a little something to keep him happy. At least until some expert put him right. But now you've denied him even that pleasure.
We will repay his £5,000, of course. Cheque will be sent to await him in Queensland. And I have not forgotten your remuneration, gentlemen. I'll write the cheque out now. As for your painting...
That's not for sale. Its recent windings about Bunny's middle have given it a pleasingly cracked and aged quality. I've really taken quite a shine to it. It'll go well, I think, above the mantel in my chambers in place of Love and Death. One day, who knows, someone may find an original Raffles worth the taking.
In 9 Points of the Law by E.W. Hornung, dramatized for radio by David Buck, Jeremy Clyde was A.J. Raffles and Michael Cochran, Bunny Manders. The lawyer, Addenbrook, was played by David Buck, and the Honourable John Montague Craggs by Nigel Graham. The Raffles theme music was composed by Jim Parker. Sound balance was by Keith Perrin, and the production was by Gordon House.